This oral history is brought to you with the support of Guttman students and staff and funded by the American Council of Learned Societies and the Mellon Foundation. Enjoy.
Okay, so what's your name?
Jermaine Nieves.
Your age?
I am 19 years old.
Okay. Your racial identity?
I don't know, actually. I wasn't born with I guess if you see me, I present as white because I am albino, but other than that, I don't know what color I was supposed to be. So I don't really know.
That is perfectly fine. But you are Hispanic at the same time. You're Puerto Rican, so.
Yes.
I think you should qualify. You should, like, say that. Because even though you present as white, you're still, like, you know, have the culture and stuff like that as being Puerto Rican.
That's true.
Okay. How has the coronavirus changed your life?
Online school, I've had to adapt a lot through that. I'm not very good at online school, and I had to change my life schedule. I also have to help my grandmother and my sister with things a lot more.
Yeah, I agree, same. So what was it like to be home so often?
I hated it. At first, I hated it. I still do. But that's mainly because growing up, I lived a very sheltered life. So I was never allowed to go outside.
Yeah.
Only for school and when my mom took me out. Even in, like, parts of my teenage years, I was just really, really sheltered. My mom didn't want me outside ever. And, you know, now that I started college, I have the freedom now that I can go outside by myself. And although it's gone now, but it's getting better. And I've had to get used to that. But I've started redecorating. I like decorating. So that's mainly what I've been doing.
How you occupy your time.
Yeah, I've just been decorating and buying stuff I don't need. And yeah.
Me too. So how did the coronavirus impact you mentally and emotionally?
It was really hard. It brought me to, like, a slump when school, like, when we got sent back home from school, it brought me into a really gross slump. And I didn't want to do any work. It's not that I didn't want to do it, like, out of laziness. I just couldn't. Like,
it was motivational.
Yeah, no motivation. Like, before, I could write an essay within an hour, have it be like two and a half pages. Yeah. And I was a beast at it, and I was very proud of myself. But now, I can barely sit down and write a paper within an hour. Like, I don't have that drive that I used to. Part of it is still there. I have fun study. I have ways that I enjoy studying and make things fun for myself. But it's hard. It's really tricky.
Yeah, because you get distracted very easily. I completely understand.
Yep, that too. And I just couldn't get out of bed.
Yeah. And you already mentioned this, but maybe you could go in depth about it, I guess. How did it impact you socially, like the coronavirus?
Oh, I'm immunocompromised. So my mom went into full gear again, like when I was little. I wasn't allowed to see anybody for 5 months going into COVID. I didn't start going out till June-ish, July.
Yeah.
Because my mom went into full gear and was like, yeah, no, you're not going outside. And it was really depressing because I missed my friends, and especially my friends from the city, because I worried a lot about you guys. and you guys were really on my mind. I was like, well, I hope they're okay and like their loved ones are okay.
I completely relate. I mean, like, not about, yeah, because I wasn't allowed to go outside either, so.
Yeah.
How did the coronavirus impact your family?
Well, we have this, the way my apartment is set up, we have like this little mini hallway from when you first walk in. So whenever my mom finished coming back from like the grocery store, we would have them disinfected in that area.
Yeah.
And we would have them sprayed. So I think it played a lot more psychologically on their mind than like physically. And they were mainly like panicking because they didn't want none of us to get sick. Because the only ones that were, if us got sick, it would be an issue, would be me and my grandma.
Yeah.
But that's because my grandma's old. but other than that, I feel like my mom handled it pretty well. It was hard because there was no jobs.
Yeah.
My mom was kind of struggling for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But she's okay now. Were. Yeah.
You just spoke about this, but are people in your household working?
Yeah. My mom is working, and then on my parents are divorced, so my dad is also working.
Mm-hmm.
He lost his business, so he had to close it.
Oh, because of the virus?
Yeah.
Wow.
So he had to shut it down, and he had to find a new spot. So he is not a happy camper right now.
I can only imagine. Oh, to, my like, gosh. Start over from scratch again?
Ugh, I know.
That's very difficult.
It really, really is. It was hard saying it, too. Because he would just be so sad.
Mm-hmm. But a lot of people are going through that.
Yeah. He's in a lot of debt right now. But I know he'll pull through. And I'll always be there to help them. So.
Yeah. You gotta be hopeful and, you know, push through.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you learned about yourself or your family since the beginning of this crisis?
Yes. I learned that my ass needs to learn Braille. for so many reasons. One, because it'll be easier to accommodate me. Because all they have, like if a professor was like, oh, you have to read this book. And I'm like, oh, I can't. They could send like that chapter to a Braille list and they could have it made in Braille.
Yeah.
And my life will be like 50 times easier.
Mm-hmm. Because you need big wordings in order to see it, that's why.
Yeah, and Braille will just be so much easier, because I feel bad, because sometimes the teachers will run to the printer and, like, go print something out in large print, and I'm like, this isn't nowhere near big enough, and I feel bad, because they're trying.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it makes things hard. But, I also... I really want to move out. I know this sounds mean, but me and my mom, we're very different from one another in a good and bad way. You know, we both have great and not so great qualities, but me and her are so different that it's just not gonna work out. I was already having a hard time with her like before coronavirus, but once COVID started again, it just kind of made it worse, I guess.
Yeah.
Because
you're stuck with each other in the house.
Mm-hmm.
All day.
We would constantly be arguing.
Yeah.
It is so stressful.
Yeah. Okay. What has been the hardest part of this pandemic for you?
Definitely the lack of motivation has really hit me hard. For many reasons. One, because my grandma is very religious, so she thinks the end of the world is happening right now. I personally disagree, even though I'm also religious. I feel like she's just being dramatic, but yeah, I just feel like, no, like, it's not really, I don't know. I don't know. My thing is, like, we're just all kind of worried.
Yeah.
And she stresses me out. I've been mainly stressed mentally more than anything because it's depressing. And I had a really big drive when we were back at school. Like, you know this. I was always, like, on top of my stuff, and except for math. I hate math. But I was always on top of everything. And I, you know, I was a big school person. And now I'm not even – well, before, at least in the spring one and two, I was out of it. I failed chemistry 2 times. It was such a mess. I hated it.
Yeah. I know. I completely understand. It has been, like, very, very unmotivational.
Yeah, I'm happy I took chemistry now, better than later.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I failed it, I don't have to take it anymore.
Has there been anything positive to come out of the pandemic for you?
Yeah, I learned how to use my cane properly. I still am taking classes for it. I've just been getting more update on blind related stuff, like my cane and, like, mm-hmm. Braille. I'm still finding a Braille teacher. And I won the election, which I kind of regret a little bit, only because it's a little bit overwhelming from time to time. But I am trying my best. And yeah, I don't know. Oh, and with Easy, we've been training a lot more. So he's been a great help lately.
That's good. At least something positive has came out because, you know, you're learning how to adapt more.
Yeah. That's definitely true.
Mm-hmm. And especially, like, once this pandemic is over, even though it's, like, kind of, like, going down, but, like, once it's, like, officially over and we're, like, you know, back to usual, like, it'll be better for you, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think the nation and the world should learn from this pandemic?
To wear a freaking mask. It's not something to debate over. It's just basic. It's like, okay, when people cough really gross, right? What do?
Yeah.
They put their arm in their mouth by their elbow so they don't get the spit everywhere. It's literally the same thing, except the elbow, which is the mask, stays on the entire time.
Yeah, a lot of people have been protesting about it, and I'm just like, there's no reason to do that. Like, especially in Brooklyn, like, a lot of Jewish people have, like, resisted on not wearing it and stuff like that, and where my dad lives, like, a lot of people don't wear it, and it's just like, all right.
Oh my gosh, and I also found out a lot of people, I don't live in the 5 boroughs. I live on Long Island, right?
Yeah.
And I was always wondering, like, well, why does everybody from the boroughs hate people? I know now. I understand. They're all so, at least the adults, their race, they're Trump supporters. I'm not going to say that they're, no, I would think they're racist, but I think they're not the type of racist to be up in your face and be like, go back to your country. They're not that type of racist. They're, like, passive aggressive. You know, like, they won't say anything, but they'll just look at you funny. That's it. Yeah. And I joined my town's Facebook group for several reasons. I had an incident with Easy in June, July-ish. And I had to, you know, try to find the person. And then I just stayed on because I'm like, well, maybe they have fun events for, like, kids later on. And I just stayed. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Every Sunday, there is rallies for the Dorito Man, and I don't like it. And it is so gross. And they wonder why nobody likes them. And I said that saying having children say the national anthem when they don't fully understand what it really is.
I had to do that when I was younger.
Oh my gosh, so did I. And I was just like, I just wrote in the Facebook group, I'm like, hey, I think it's kind of weird how we make the children, like 5 years old, 6 years old, say the national anthem in school when in reality, they don't really know why they're saying it. The teachers don't explain, you know, why.
Yeah.
They just kind of make them say it.
It was always mandatory in my school. Well, because I went to this school for like a couple of months and it was just always mandatory at like a specific time. Every single day, and I'm just like, huh, like, why are we, and we have to put our hands on our chest and everything like that.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't mandatory in my school, but they'll be like, hey, stop walking, or like, and you would get in trouble if you didn't do it. It's like, first of all, who are you? Mm-hmm. It's just words, right? I can understand why they would make you say it in high school, but at the same time, it should be an option. It shouldn't be mandatory, because if you're really patriotic, then you would do it. But if you're just kind of like, whatever, I just want to go on with my day, then you won't do it. Because you don't have to do that in your regular job.
That's
only
true.
In the military. And who do they recruit for the military? A lot of people who are doing really bad in high school that are scared they won't get into college. At least for my school. And I don't know. I think they're doing something psychologically, and I just don't like it. And I said that, and you know what the people responded? They were like, oh, America is wasted on you. They were like, well, then where would you want to go? Do you want to move somewhere else? And it's like, I would love to move to another country, but the issue is I would still have to pay American taxes if I decide to move out. And if I wanted to like completely cut off America, right, I would have to pay $20,000 to get rid of my citizenship in the United States.
That is crazy.
And I'm just like, ugh. If you want to pay for me, then go right ahead. I'm not going to stop you. And then they were like, let's start a GoFundMe. And I was debating for a little while. I was debating. I'm like, do I really? I could steal all their money. Like, because it's not like they're poor white people. They're rich white people who are just stupid. So I was just like, I could rob you all right now. But I'm like, let me stop. And I just kind of laughed, and then they kicked me out of the Facebook group after that day. So
it's crazy.
They're so childish. They did, and they should, because they're a bunch of pussies. So
okay, why do you believe these anti-racist protests erupted?
Hold on, what was the question?
Why do you believe these anti-racist protests has erupted?
Oh, because they should erupt. I don't like racist people either. So, as they should.
True.
Like, my thing is, it's like, it's about time. And it was gonna happen. It was gonna happen again.
Yeah.
And more things started, like, pushing them, taking until you've hit the last straw, and people are tired of it. People are over it. They're just like, well, no, I don't want this anymore.
Yeah.
And they want to take a stand, and some of them want to stand together. Others want to be dramatic and make completely different groups all talking about the same thing. And I say that in the sense that because I've seen online a bit of backlash on the Black Lives Matter movement with Hispanic people and Latino people saying, oh, well, Hispanic lives matter. As like a...
Yeah, I've saw that too.
But it's not like if an outsider, like if a Republican looks at it, oh, they'll be like, oh, they're working together. But in reality, they're not. They're kind of... And it all depends, you know, but... That phrase came from a Hispanic person getting angry at something a Black person did to a Hispanic person. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, but what about us? And then feeling some type of way, taking it a little bit too personal, because you can't blame one person's action on an entire race.
Yeah.
Unless it's a lot of multiple actions that a lot of people from that race are doing. Like, for example, slavery. So many white people participated in slavery. Oh, my gosh.
It was, yes, exactly.
So it's not, it would be stupid if a white person said, oh, white lives matter. No, sit down.
Mm-hmm. That's why they're like protesting that like all lives matter all of a sudden.
Yeah, no, all lives matter is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Like, to an extent, I kind of understand the psychology behind it because they want to feel included, right? But at the same time, half of the people are not realizing that we have to do one thing at a time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Black lives are the ones that are most affected right now in discrimination.
Yeah.
Then it would be Hispanics/Latinos and Blacks, because a lot of people from, I think, Jamaica are also getting... captured by ICE and having their kids separated from them. And then mm-hmm. we tackle that, because it's basically the plan that's going on is, let's tackle a chunk of racism first and police brutality, then we'll go after ICE, and then so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And I think, I agree with that, because mm-hmm. I personally don't join the protests because I can't see. So I would get I would not be alive. At all. As much as I want to join the protest, I can't, and it sucks. Yeah. But you know, it's just how it is.
It's okay. You could help out in different ways.
Exactly. But I'm fine with the protests that are going on. I'm happy that people are finally standing up for what they believe in and making a change that is gonna go down in history, literally. Because people be like, oh, this is going to go down in history. 99% of the time it doesn't. But now is an interesting time. People are already starting to write history books about now.
Yeah, because a lot has happened.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And I'm excited. I'm excited.
Okay. How have the uprisings across the country shifted how you think about that? About your ethnic identity and your place in U.S. society?
Wait, read the question again. I'm sorry.
How have the uprisings across the country shifted how you think about your ethnic identity and your place in society?
I've had a really hard time with my... I've always had a hard time with my identity because I don't really fit in wherever I go. I've had Latino and Hispanic friends all my life.
Mm-hmm.
I have like maybe 2-3 white friends and then like 4-3 black friends, not counting you guys, from the people that I've met this year.
Yeah.
But I don't know where I identify, because my mom moved me out of Puerto Rico for medical reasons and for safety reasons, because in my hometown when I was born, I don't know what happened, but basically my grandpa was like, you're going to have an albino child because I want an albino child. Because he thought they resembled angels based off a certain description of the Bible. And I ended up being albino. So my grandpa thought that God sent an angel down to help Puerto Rico or the town or whatever. And my mom was weirded out. Like, we're all religious, but that's such a big claim that I guess she was overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And she believes that God sent me down specifically for her, for another reason that I could tell you another day. But so I was always so white looking, and everyone in the town, I live in a very small town in Puerto Rico. Everybody knows who everybody is, but everyone would just stare at me all the time, no matter where I went. They would just stare. And it's so uncomfortable. So my mom moved here. Because they stare at you like you're either an angel or you're like a freak show. It's either or. Never both at the same time. So I moved to the States. And you know what's so ironic? I got teased by white people because I was too white. How does that make any sense? But yeah, I didn't have any friends till like fifth grade. Because everyone was scared of me. And then that's where I made like my first friend, and then we were friends for a while, but I never felt like I fit in anywhere, right? Because none of the white girls wanted to play with me, and then none of the people that were from my background wanted to play with me either. And then growing up now, it makes it even tougher because I'm basically like alone, right? I don't know where I belong because I get treated, I've never experienced racism like my Latino and like my Black friends. Yeah. And I don't think I will ever experience that racism, which is in a way good, but I feel bad because it makes me sad that they have to go through it. So what I've been doing is I use what I look like to my advantage in the sense of when I'm with you guys, and I've even done this with Amari, and I tell him like, when I basically, you know, when I ask you guys to open the door to the subway?
To the subway?
Yeah, by the mm-hmm. turnstiles. The emergency door. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, and like Amari's like, no, the police is there. I'm like, no, if they tell you something, I'm right here. I got you. Because one, they're not going to yell at a blind person's friend for helping out the blind person with the guide dog. And two, yeah. I look so white that they're most likely going to be like, oh, he seems like a good kid because he has a white friend. Because that's how they are. Mm-hmm. I've never went to a school for the blind, so I was able to analyze a lot of people who I grew up around, and that's really how they are. I use that to my advantage because I don't really know what to do. Because yeah. I try to help, and I will always try to help, but it's hard when I really don't fit into my own community.
Mm-hmm.
And there are others similar to me. They may have the features of their family. I don't even have the features of my family. Oh, I have my, like my nose. Well, no, I have my dad's, like, mouth and my mom's eyes. But, like, I don't have neither their skin color. Because I could be as dark as, maybe a little bit darker than you, or as light as, I don't know. As light as, like, a regular average, like, white person. I don't know. Because my mom's side. But my dad's side is also really dark, so I can range, you know? But, yeah, it's just hard. It's just tricky. I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like I feel a bit more lost than I did before.
Yeah. I mean, that's completely understandable because it's like, because of what you said, like, you know, you feel like you don't fit in because you're, like, how you look compared to, like, who you are. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you do your best to try to help other people. So I think that's really, really good. Do you have any stories you are willing to share about encounters you have had with racism or the police?
I can't really speak upon racism, but I can tell you about my personal experiences with the police. Now, I can't tell you it's because they see my skin tone first or because they see my disability first. Mm-hmm. But when I encountered the police, up till all this started happening, I thought they were okay people. I say okay because some of them are stupid, but I thought they were okay because I always had good interactions with them. They always gave me directions. They've always helped me out. They've always like let me into places for free. So I've never had any major issues. I do use my, like how the example I gave earlier, like I use myself to kind of be a shield for others, but other than that, I've never had any negative experiences. Before all of this started happening. And that's when I started noticing, like, oh, is it because of, like, that's why I can't tell you. I don't know if it's because of my disability or because of my skin color or both. Because I also have a blind person that I know who is Black, and he doesn't get treated badly by the police, but he gets mm-hmm. treated, like, okay, you know, he still gets help if he needs it. But there was a blind man in California who got shot by the police simply just by walking around. I think he was Latino. And the police, I don't know what was the claim, but it was very stupid. How are you going to just shoot a blind man? He had a cane. He didn't have a dog. And the cane is like the easiest identifier any blind person can give you. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how to fuck up that bad to shoot them. Like, I think he shot them like 5 times.
That is crazy.
And that's also why I don't want to protest. Because you guys may see a giant rubber bullet, but I'm not going to see it. And like little things, you know. So I that's why that's the only reasons I won't protest, because I'm just scared that I will hold other people back, or you know, things like that.
Yeah, I mean the process, like there are peaceful protests, but like there are like incidents that happen like out of nowhere, or like it could either involve like the police or just the people who are in the protest in general. Like anything could happen, and like seeing from like the media and stuff like that, like a lot of incidents has been happening from the police, because the police are being violent against the peaceful protesters.
Yeah, exactly.
So it is very, honestly, I would say it would be like dangerous, like for you especially, if you was to go to a protest, because you never know what could happen. Like anything could happen, and especially what's been like seen through the media, it's like even more like scary.
Yeah, I agree. That's the only bummer. If it was like definitely a safe protest and the police were guarding the protesters, I wouldn't have an issue, right? Yeah. I would go, but that's never the case, at least with these in the city. So even where I live, around where I live, there was only like 2 protests and it was pretty peaceful. There weren't anything major, but it was just 1 protest. So, you know, and if I'm going to be very honest, there isn't a lot of police brutality in my neighborhood or my area, simply because it's like when a police officer or when someone sees a black person in my neighborhood, no one really says anything. They just kind of stare weirdly, like how I was explaining earlier.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's really it when it comes to that.
Yeah. Okay, were you at all in digital or in person an activist in the last 6 months?
If so, how? Definitely digital. I've signed a lot of petitions. I unfortunately wasn't able to donate money because I was helping my mom with bills and stuff. But I did share a lot of important information. I've posted, if you're going to protest, how to do it safely and strategies to use. And I've just been really aware. I've been really cautious about what I post. Being cautious in the sense that I don't want to post something that, like, the government just shows up to my house the next day. They're like, what the fuck is this? Sorry for my French. I just mainly do everything online. I feel like that's the best way to get things out there. And I don't have a gigantic following, but I have a pretty good one to where I can get information out safely, and people will see it. So I use that to my advantage, and I just get as much information. Like daily, I'm always posting like random stuff about the president and his up-running like candidate, like the 2 candidates. I post a lot about AOC. I love her. I post like tips and stuff, and even stuff for school. I just try to help out as much as I can with really anything.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good thing that you're doing, because even though like you can't go to the protest like in person, you're still like, you know, helping out other people through the media. And that's like a lot of people use social media, especially like a lot of young people, and you know, they could now be more informed on like how to like what's happening in the world, or like you said, the tips you've been like sharing as well. So I really think that's, you know, really helpful. Because even though you can't go to the protest, you're still helping other people, and you're still, you know, being an activist at the same time, even though it's not in person through the media.
Thank you. I definitely try, because I know a lot of my friends will go, and I know they will want to help out as much as they can. They may not know how, so I try to post good information that they can use on my page.
Yeah. How have the past few months changed how you think about police and racism in the U.S.?
My view on racism hasn't changed solely because I hate it. I don't like it. I think it's the stupidest thing one can think about, like an ideology that's very stupid. It makes no sense. Never made sense, but my view on police definitely changed. Since I've never had any negative encounters, I was kind of ignorant to other people's struggles until everything that's going on. That being said, I proudly never defended any police. Just because I've had good encounters doesn't mean other people have had those encounters too. Yeah. You know, people get arrested all the time for so many different reasons. And it is so unfair 90% of the time, because mainly it's just because they look a certain way or act a certain way. And I've said this all the time, but I feel everyone relies on their eyes too much. And I'm happy I'm blind. It's great because I don't see facial features first. I don't see facial expressions until you're like 10 inches from my face. So I don't see those first. I mainly see like blobs of color and just shapes. So I just mainly, I don't know. Like I don't rely on my eyes that much. I rely on how people speak, their tone, how they act. Not necessarily their appearance. Everything over here in the United States is too visual, way too visual, from education to crossing the street to everything. Walking on the sidewalk, because in Japan, there's stuff on the sidewalk for blind people, so that way they can walk straight and not get in other people's way, and vice versa.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I feel like everyone is a little bit too visual and relies too much on it, and it's a dangerous thing. Mm-hmm. And it's a shame. It's a real shame.
It is. And especially, like, racism has to do with visual as well. Like, you see somebody's skin color and you automatically assume you, like, police officers automatically assume and do horrible things because of their skin color, and it makes no sense. But because at the end of the day, they still have the upper power, so I don't understand why you would come after somebody else who doesn't have the same power as you.
Exactly. But yeah, I definitely get what you mean. I don't know. Sometimes it just makes me sick to my stomach, and it's so disappointing. Because I always say that, like, people who think they're the most educated, take away their eyes for 3 days. Yeah. And don't tell them it's 3 days. They couldn't handle a thing. And I say that because you're strong until something you rely on so heavily is taken away from you. So you learn how to adapt and learn different types of valuable lessons in your life. So, yeah. No one is really perfect. No one is really that smart. It doesn't matter what color you are. There is always a fault, and there's also so many things you could learn in a day. And there, don't get me wrong, there are blind racist people. I don't know how.
I don't know how.
It's either like they lost their, it could either be a few things. It could be like they lost their vision and they were just racist before they lost their vision, or their racism was taught by family. Like Helen Keller, she was racist. It's disgusting. Because... yeah, I want to punch her, but like she's dead now, so it's fine. But she was racist and no one talks about it. So, like, yes, she did. She was a remarkable woman when it came to her disability, but when it came to her brain, not very smart.
Yeah.
So, she's kind of embarrassing. But that's just an example. Like, there are racism, and especially when it comes to her, like, that was taught to her. That wasn't something that she could see. And, like, and that's the danger. It's like, people forget that others have such a big influence in their lives.
Mm-hmm. She grew up with that, like, being taught that, so yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, what have you seen your peers doing that inspires you?
Do their work. That sounds so corny, but it's true. Because I've had such little motivation when it comes to doing my assignments and doing my work.
Yeah.
And when I see, like, my friends and stuff, like, you know, being motivated and doing their work, it's just, it really inspires me. And I'm just like, let me do my work, too. Also, activism. A lot of my friends, they're not strong activists, but they post stuff, too. And I repost it. And the people in my neighborhood in particular, we, not we for legal reasons, but they steal the signs of the Trump supporters.
Really?
Yes. And it's very funny.
That is interesting.
That's fun. That's watch funny. And just in general, it's just very fun. But and all series is like, I don't know, I really like their mentality, their drive, their focus. And it's hard to have that right now, and I'm just really happy that they're able to have that and have be so strong-willed and get all their work in on time, which sounds really cheesy and like a weird mom sense, but I'm just really happy because it inspires me to do it too.
Yeah, that type of thing motivates you, and like that's why I was like, it's kind of better going back to school, because like the other people around you, you see them doing something, and like it's not like you're like at home watching TV to get distracted by it. So it's just like, you know what, might as well just do my work too. Like,
exactly,
it's all around you, might as well you do it too.
Exactly, I feel the same way.
Okay, what do you think about cops' responses to protests that began in May 2020?
Some are great. The ones that kneel down in respect to the protesters. I appreciate those policemen because they understand. The others are garbage. And then others are forced. And I say this because majority of the time, the police don't make their own decisions unless they're pulling someone over and stuff. But when it comes to like, okay, I'm going to send like these 40 police to Brooklyn to defend Brooklyn or whatever. And you have to shoot somebody that gets in your way if they're said color. And those are types of instructions and directions they get, and they can't break those directions only because, let's say there is somebody within those 40 police officers that believes that that's the right thing to do, they're going to tell the chief of police, and then everybody's going to get in trouble. So some of them are forced, some of them are stupid, and some of them are great. And I feel like that's the main three categories. And the ones that are stupid, they're just the stupid ones. I don't know how to explain it. They're just dumb.
Yeah, I have seen, like, on social media, some police officers, like, talking about, like, a lot of the protests and stuff like that, or, like, what they would do in instance. Like, if, like, they were stopping an African-American person. And there was, like, one police officer who, like, was, like, I wouldn't have done this. I would have done this instead and stuff like that. Like, he explained what he would do. But then he ended up making another video, and he got fired from his job because he made that video.
Exactly.
And he had to apologize and everything like that, because he made that video when in reality he was just speaking his mind. Like,
exactly,
like he shouldn't have gotten fired for that. It's that was freedom of speech right there. First of all,
I can understand why certain things like are inappropriate, right? But other things is just like, I don't know, it's hard, because it would be the same thing in reverse. Like, let's say a stupid Nazi person was like, yeah, I'm a Nazi and I'm a police officer. What about it? He gets fired. Good. I think it all depends on who's in charge. Like, I think we should yell at and get the person that who's in charge, like, in a lot more issues and a lot more trouble because they're the ones in charge. They're the ones filling in, hey, shoot, they're the ones covering up a lot of evidence. They're the ones hiding everything.
Yeah.
They should be the ones that should be in jail.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. And then we start working on the police. And the police program shouldn't even be a few weeks. It should be like 3 years in college. Half of them didn't even pass high school.
That is true. Okay, what do you think about the local and national government's response to the protests?
Oh, it's terrible. We need to get the Dorito out of office.
Dorito?
Because they're just sending like the National Guard, and the National Guard doesn't want to be there. You know who's in the National Guard? The National Guard are the people that got recruited in high school. Those are the exact people I'm talking about. They don't want to be there. Yeah. Those are like their friends. Those are their allies. And the majority of them have the same beliefs, but at the same time, they're forced to do something by their chief or by their troop leader or whatever it's called. And that's what makes it hard and tricky.
Yeah. How would you like to see this movement resolved?
I want the president out of office. I want the corrupted chiefs of police to get removed from their positions and the CEOs of whatever county or I don't care. I want them all out. I want the training programs to be a police officer a lot stealthier and a lot more diverse with their training, because a lot of deaf people, especially deaf black people, have been shot because they're trying to do sign language and tell the officer, hey, I'm deaf. And when they try to do sign, they get shot because the officer thinks they're trying to grab a weapon. So that's bad. That's very, very bad because they're literally trying to communicate. So they need to be better trained. Also, there should be gun restrictions. There should. For citizens and for police. For everybody, really. Because it's so ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. What else? The National Guard should be sent to help protesters, not to stop protesters, unless it's like an obnoxiously, dangerously violent protest where everything's on fire and, like, you know, people need saving and stuff. But other than that, it should be a federal offense if you are racist towards somebody, because that is part of discrimination and it should be put on your record. Just like how if you're a sex offender, it should be put on your record. If you're racist, it should be put on your record so people get a warning. What else? And proper school education in history, with history. Proper school education with history, because we don't even learn proper history. Like, I was watching a TikTok the other day that explained something that happened with, like, Spain and, like, Mexico that I did not learn in high school.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I have to find the video, but I was like, what?
Yeah, a lot of schools do that. I mean, I haven't experienced that. My schools that I've gone to, they, like, said the good side and the bad side, like how, you know, white Americans would think of it and, like, you know, how other people would think of it, other races would think of it, because what they experienced in the past.
I agree.
Okay, what issues have you expressed in your social media platforms currently?
I posted about what's happening with Nigeria. I also posted about, like, the feminist anthem from Chile, how it went, like, viral globally, and every, like, feminist, every feminist protest is basically like talking and singing it and chanting it, and I love that. That makes me happy.
Yeah.
I also posted about someone made a bionic eye. I would never get that. Never. It would basically restore blind people's visions. Never in my life would I get that. Never ever.
That's something you would see in the movies.
Yeah, I would never get that. Oh my god, that's terrifying. Oh, and Trump, he got a secret bank account in China. Wasn't he talking crap about China like 2 days ago? It's just crazy.
Yeah. Okay, what issues do you dislike or disapprove of?
Everything. I really hate everything in this country. Well, not really, but like I do, but I don't at the same time. I don't like their false idea of a democracy, because it's not. It's a constitutional republic, I think it is. America's not an actual democracy. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm not. I really don't like anything. There's so many things wrong and corrupt with this country. It's disgusting. Like, they value pedophiles and rapists over regular, normal, qualified people for the job, and it's gross. It's disappointing. They have a terrible education system, and the only reason they rank so high is because they're teaching their history from their point of view. Mm-hmm. It's like if Germany were to teach, like in Germany, they teach, hey, we caused the Holocaust and that was really, really bad. Never do that. We regret everything. The world doesn't hate us anymore, but we need to watch where we step, because America doesn't do that. America's like, yeah, we did it, but it wasn't that bad. Like, we're fine. In reality, so many countries despise Americans, to where if an American were to go to, let's say, France, right? Mm-hmm. They have to cover their luggage with like stickers from another country. Why? Because then other people will know they're American and treat them not so nicely. No one really likes Americans.
Yep, Americans have done a lot of damage.
Ugh. And even to like how the way money is distributed. I have my own theory on how money should be distributed and how. And I'm not talking about, like, in a communistic type of way. I'm just talking about, like, how we do it now, but differently. That I would like to implement, but I won't have the power to implement, but maybe one day. I would also like Puerto Rico to be independent, because I'm tired of these Americans. what else? But that's where I stand on, like, a political sense. Not everyone is going to agree with that, but I don't really care. From education to how things are taught in college to, you know, to be an EMT, you have to be in a really long program. You know what's crazy? You have to be in a really long program, and a police officer makes more than that, than an EMT worker. Like, no. Yeah. And also police officers, as much as, like, they quote-unquote risk their lives, kind of, but, like, not really, you know, because an EMT and a firefighter risk their lives. Firefighter risks their lives. That is what risking your life is.
Yeah.
EMT, yes, to an extent, because sometimes you have literally mentally unstable patients.
Yeah.
That try to kill you. Because you remember, when you, like, get a patient into the truck, you're not always checking their pockets for weapons. You just pick them up and go. And then a police officer, it's like, oh, I have a shiny gun and a taser. Watch out. Like, okay, sit down, Jared. Like, no. It just stresses me out, because their programs are a lot longer, while the police program is a lot shorter. Everything needs to be changed in America. They need to get rid of the Constitution. And I say this, I know it's so controversial, but I say this because it is so outdated. It needs to be rewritten. Obviously, with basic human rights put first, and then, like, you know, you put gun control and stuff in there, and, you know, rewrite it, but in a more modern sense. Mm-hmm. Obviously take out the stuff that is clearly outdated, but I don't know. America's a mess. And also give the indigenous people back, like, half of the land that they deserve. Like, come on now. Those poor people. I feel so bad for them. They're so stressed. And that's how I feel.
Are there people you know who have faced these current issues happening?
In what sense?
Like, racism or like anything else. Or like anything else, like
Gotcha.
Anything was happening with the protests or I don't know.
When it comes to racism, my friends haven't really vocalized it to me, at least as of late. Because in the area I live, there's not really much police brutality. No one really calls the police. They just kind of follow everybody and give everybody a heart attack. But I don't know. Around where I live, no. Yeah, no. I don't know, no. At least not now.
Okay. Let me see. Do you have any advice for any individuals who are facing any current issues?
The current issues?
Yeah, like anything that's happening with like police brutality or racism or the protests, like do you have any advice for anybody who's going through that?
My advice is to remember you're not alone. You're not the first and you're not gonna be the last. In the sense of like last, that you're not gonna be the only one going through this. And it makes me really sad, oh my God. But I just remember that you're not alone and there's people that believe you, that back you up and that are here for you. And yeah, I don't know. I don't really know much to say. I just, you know, remember to stay connected to your friends and family. Never really go anywhere alone. Be careful when you go outside. Learn self-defense, like a karate, not karate, but you know what I'm talking about, like jiu-jitsu. Stuff that doesn't cause injuries, but can put an opponent down. Because if you cause a police officer an injury, right, you will go to jail. But if you detain the police officer, or let's say an off-duty police officer that thinks he's the bomb and think, no, you can technically make a citizen's arrest, because if you didn't know they were undercover, you can make a citizen's arrest. And all you have to do is detain them. That's all you have to do. You don't have to hurt the person.
True.
So you got to work, like, educate yourself on the laws and find a loophole for each one that you feel like you would be involved in. That's my best advice. And wear a mask.
And wear a mask. I completely agree. And I think that was really, really good advice.
Thank you.
And that's all the questions I have.
Well, I hope this helped with your project.